Hey, what up, Long Beach? Welcome back to your home for everything local sports. This is our weekly podcast called What Up, Long Beach? And as always, I am JJ Fiddler with my co-host across the table, Mike Artabasio.
It me, Mike Artabasio.
It is you, Mike, and we are once again at the LB Post like we are every week, recording both of our podcasts, but it's not the only thing we're doing with LB Post.
We've got a big weekly feature that will be out basically whenever you listen to this show. It's already going to be up at lbpost.com. JJ worked on this week's, and I'm pretty excited to see how this comes out. Both of the colleges in town, Long Beach State and LBCC, changing their logos.
Mascot mayhem, Mike.
Oh, mayhem.
It's real interesting. LBCC and Long Beach State, both doing what a lot of sports institutions are doing, changing something. Alternative jerseys, new logos, different colors, they're all kind of becoming normal in the sports world. And we're looking at how both institutions went about their business and kind of their differing relationships with their mascots. Because at Long Beach City College, they're leaning into the Vikings. For the first time ever, they've got the full Viking head as their logo, and it looks pretty cool. While at Long Beach State, they're literally getting rid of Prospector Pete.
Prospector Pete is going to be, I don't know, in mothballs somewhere.
Can we also, as a PSA, I mean, please go read the story. We've got multimedia components so that you can hear athletic directors Andy Fee and Randy Tutorp talk about the process of doing a redesign, a rebranding movement at a school as big as those two schools. But Prospector Pete's not a real person. And I think that needs to be said, and I think that needs to be the lead of every conversation you have about that situation at Long Beach State, because I think it's fair to say that there are a lot of groups of people who did some things in history that you wouldn't want to align yourself with.
Well, certainly the Vikings, probably much more so than the 49ers.
I mean, you could go as far as Crusaders.
Sure, Mike. Yes.
There's a lot of things out there in the history of this world that aren't good, right?
That have made for mascots, which is why an interesting component of your story that was surprising to me, now basically the state of California is like, don't name anything after people.
Yeah, you know what that's, I mean? Like, that's what I was just going to say.
Animals are concepts only.
They don't want individuals as mascots. So where does that leave us? With a lot more tigers, a lot more lions, and a lot more bears, oh my.
We're just going to call everybody the Lancers.
That's not going to get confusing at all. So check out that story right now at LB Post, like I said, with the multimedia component, a little video there for you. You can find all of Long Beach State and LBCC sports coverage at the562.org, where it's our membership drive month right now in the month of September.
Make sure you go to the562.org and click subscribe, just as a bunch of people have for our membership month. We want to shout out Ryan Guerrero, a baseball player that we actually covered. Awesome to see him on that subscriber
really
list.
That's really cool. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Churro. That's amazing, man.
Shout out. Really appreciate that. This is how, look, if you're a kid, a recent high school graduate, or a parent, or whatever, if you love our sports coverage, the only way it's going to still be around is going to be if you can go to the562.org, click subscribe, sign up for a small recurring monthly donation, just $5 to $10 a month. That's going to keep us in business doing what we do best, which is featuring you. And as JJ mentioned, for September, we are giving something to you as well. If you sign up by the end of the month, you're going to get a free sticker, as well as be entered in a drawing to have your name shouted out on a video or in this podcast. And even one lucky winner will get a sideline experience at a football game of their choice with JJ or I.
We are so Long Beach that those stickers that you guys are going to get, they're all weather. You can put them on your car. They say the home of Long Beach sports. Let everybody know that you support the562.org. Those stickers are from Long Beach Graphics, because we are just the LBC, man, and we support Long Beach, and you should too. So get to the562.org right now and be part of the local news movement.
Wow, did I ever beat the brakes off JJ in our weekly fantasy football matchup this week.
Should have bet the hog pack, bro. We could have been eating right now.
And, well, my wife and I had to celebrate that fantasy football win that I got absolutely no money for. So you know what we're going to do? We got to go down to Naples Rib Company. It's our favorite place to go whenever we're celebrating a big win of any kind in our lives.
Could have been on me.
It could have been.
All I'm saying.
But I respect you too much to make a bet with you that I couldn't have afforded to have paid my side of had I lost. So if you are like me, if you're celebrating something in your life, what better place to go to than Naples Rib Company, Long Beach's best barbecue spot? Go down there. You can get a hog pack if you want, or you could just go out for a nice dinner with your significant other, get some ribs, get some mashed potatoes, get some brisket, get whatever you want, and have a great night. Make sure when you're there, you tell them Mike and JJ sent you.
Yeah, it's early, but it's already progress report time for the local high school football teams. We're handing out the grades. Mike, did you ever have to take your progress report home and get your guardian to sign it?
I was mostly an A's and B's kid, except for I failed one trimester of algebra in eighth grade, and they didn't want to let me go to geometry in high school. But my standardized test scores were like 98th percentile, so it worked out.
Wow, that's a real humble brag, and not at all the answer to the question that I asked.
I did need to get that signed to make it out of Hughes Middle School, because I did have an F with like an FF. You know what I mean?
Well, we've got more good grades for our local football teams this year than I think we ever have before, and we've done this each and every year since you and I started working about 10 years ago.
Oh, our Moorlink schools are much better at playing football than I was at doing my algebra homework, yes.
There's a lot of A's out there, my man, and we will start where we should start with the defending Moorlink champions, Long Beach Poly. Let's put like a minute on the clock, you know, approximately. Okay. We're not going to hold ourselves like PTI to this thing, but real fast.
We're just going to start going beep.
Yeah, we're just going to start. We're just going to run down how these teams are doing, you know, kind of based on their expectations coming into the season. So with a minute on the clock, Mike, take it away with the Jackrabbits.
I gave Poly a B here. I think some people would have liked to have seen that lower. Some people would have liked to have seen it higher. My thing is this. They definitely have what I would call probably the most disappointing loss of the non-league schedule for the local teams was their loss to LaSalle. But they also have far and away the best win with an impressive 26-3 win over Narbonne when Narbonne was ranked number 12 in the state. So obviously no one else has beaten anyone that's even close to the top 15 in the state. That's a big deal to do that. But if they were 2-2, I don't think they would have thought that they would have lost to the teams they lost to. So you definitely can't give them an A either, and I think a B is about the right level.
Wow, that's a lot of time left. Give Stephen Barbie a grade for his time so far, Paulie.
You and I are just long-term guys. I would give him an incomplete just because I think, you know, he hasn't even had a Moorlink game yet. You know what I mean?
Like, but are the Moorlink games what separate Paulie Hyde football coaches?
I think seeing how the Moorlink is used to get ready for the playoffs, seeing how the kids are in the games, the substitution patterns, I feel I learn more about coaches in some of those games. Like I know everything I need to know about Carl Buggs because of the way that he coaches his team in a Moorlink game that he might win by 80 points. You know what I mean? So that's the kind of thing I'm looking forward to seeing over the next couple weeks. I think he's done a great job so far. He's definitely brought the kind of like stabilizing force they've needed. It's just a question now of, you know, can he sort of, they need a lot more than stability. They also need to win playoff football games, and they're in Division One. So that'll be the real test for him.
Milliken is our first A of the progress report. Milliken's getting an A minus because I don't think we've really seen the real Milliken Rams yet. They have the most all more league returners coming back outside of Poly, and yet injuries have hampered them. Obviously, their big receiver, Malik Bradford, Cal Commit, has been out with a hamstring. Senior running back, Kawan Campbell, has been out with a shoulder. And they've really played three completely different games. The defensive battle with Carson in the season opener was 7-3. Then they go to Gar, and they hold on while getting banged up for a win there. And then they come home, and a really messy performance in their home opener against Aquinas gives them their first loss. So they should have an A. But because they haven't had their full complements of players, specifically on offense, and really had a tough week going into the Moore League, I'm giving them the A-. However, they're coming off the bye. So not only do they have a chance to get healthy, not only do they have a chance to kind of reevaluate themselves after playing three games, they start the Moore League with what is their biggest game in the Moore League on paper. It's the Poly game. So you kind of get the Poly game out of the way if you're a Milliken Ram, because as we know, the Poly game doesn't really define the second or third or fourth place team in the Moore League. It's those other games. So to kind of get that out of the way, come into it healthy, feel good no matter what coming out, I think is the priority for Milliken, because I think Milliken is leading the chase pack in the league right now.
There is only one undefeated team in the Moore League, and it's not the team that you might expect if you're a longtime follower of that league. The Compton football program, 3-0. They do have one more non-league game against Gardena this week. But right now, Compton, the last team with a donut on the second half of that standings. And you really just have to take your hat off. I gave them an A. Was it an A or an A+? But they definitely get an A.
It's an A+.
I mean, you know, what else can you say about a program that has not started 3-0 in a decade? and has been able to do that this year. They won the Hub City Championship by beating Compton Centennial and Dominguez, their crosstown rivals.
By a lot.
By a lot. They have been absolutely steamrolling teams. They ran for almost 450 yards against Dominguez. And to me, this is the team I'm most excited to see how they do in league, because if they can get into the playoffs, they'd have to finish top three to do that. They definitely have the system and the horses to make some noise in the playoffs. And this is a team we've never seen win a playoff game.
Going to be hard for Calvin Bryant to not win More League Football Coach of the Year this year. Somebody prove us wrong. Has Cabrillo, Jordan, and Compton ever won non-league football games on the same night?
I don't even think it's non-league. I don't
in
think
in the history.
I don't think they have ever all won a football game, period, league or non-league. Because if you think of the teams that they were playing, there was never a night in league where they beat Millikan, Lakewood Poly, Wilson.
Nope.
It's never happened. And when this, all three of those teams won on the same night.
This Jordan team's coming off a winless season. So you could just knock those seasons out as well, the ones that were winless. But look at them. Somebody break up the Jordan Panthers, man, having their best season in a decade thanks to a strong defensive leader and really a surprise dual-threat quarterback in Anthony Scott. The junior has become the signal caller at Jordan because of an injury, but he's also leading the defense in tackles. And it's just, it's incredible what he's been able to do and what Tim Wedlow's been able to do in his first year over there at Jordan. Yeah, they haven't played the top competition, but I'm giving them an A. Because right now, the Jordan Panthers are 3-1, and they're trying to change the culture over there. And they came off a winless season. From where their expectations are to where their position is going into the Moore League, I mean, they got a game against Lakewood that could really, really put them on the map on Friday night.
I'm excited about that one, and like you said, it's just so great to see a guy like Scott playing with the pride that he is and trying to change the narrative about his school. Over there on the west side, head coach Mike Ulafale's Cabrillo Jaguars are getting a C+. They started the season off struggling with losses to Bellflower Summit and San Pedro, where they're outscored by a combined 110-33. But they come back, they beat Compton Centennial 33-0. Impressive, yeah, maybe Compton Centennial, obviously not the toughest competition in the world, but they didn't just beat them, they shut them out. And I think showed that they've got a defense that can absolutely make some noise in the Moore League. They also showed off that they have a senior who's a special kid who should be getting some scholarship looks in Fesso Kauwili, who had a 95-yard interception return for a touchdown to seal that game, as well as two other TD runs.
You tell me 2 weeks ago that I would give the Wilson Bruins a B this week. I call you a liar because they did not look good in their first two games against Mayfair and San Dimas. However, that game against Huntington Beach, a big 10-7 win where their defense kind of got right and then their offense was able to get right in a 52-14 win over St. Anthony. So all of a sudden, the Bruins have a win over a ranked team in their division. They're 2-2. They're relatively healthy. And fourth-year head coach Mark Ziegenhagen knows how to win in the Moore League. So the Bruins have got a B, and I think they're headed in the right direction. I mentioned that the offense got going. Quarterback Zach Pettway has improved mightily. I mean, this kid was a sophomore starter last year, so he's just still in his junior season. And you can see week to week how much more comfortable he's getting, finally finding his big target, Zach Dolphin, last week for a huge night. Pettway averaging almost 200 yards passing per game now with 6 touchdowns, just 1 interception.
Lakewood is getting an incomplete on their report card. That might seem like a little bit of a cop-out, but to be honest with you, I just don't think there was another option. Lakewood is 0-3 with losses to teams that, frankly, were just kind of over their head. They go to Florida. They play a Windermere Prep team that Ray Lewis's son was playing for just last year. They play Mayfair, a CIF championship contender, and then Corona Del Mar, also a lower division CIF championship contender. Those are just programs that are a little bit more packed with talent than Lakewood is right now. Lakewood's in rebuilding mode, and head coach Mike Christensen has the philosophy of, let's schedule over our head for non-league, because all these games are trying to do is get us ready for league play. That's how we're going to get into the playoffs. And frankly, we're not going to be able to grade them on that strategy until we see how they look this week against Jordan.
Outside of Pauley, Lakewood could make a playoff run and get to the championship game and not see three straight teams as good as Windermere Prep, Mayfair, and Corona Del Mar. I think an incomplete is a totally fair grade to give this team, but I still can't wait to see some Brasher Kronberger in the Moore League, man. If you saw our highlights last year, you know what I'm talking about.
It's been a rough start to the season for St. Anthony, which is coming in with a C-. The Saints are winless at 0-4 and have been outscored 153-54. But sort of as we mentioned with some of the other teams, the Saints have been bit maybe worse than anybody else by the injury bug. And it's really been hampering them this season, obviously. They have shown some flashes. They were one missed field goal away from beating Palm Springs, falling 28-26. Because they play in a very small league, the Del Rey League, the Saints actually have two more home games that are non-league contests against Gar and Agoura before they open Del Rey League in 3 weeks against Harvard-Westlake. So the main focus for the Saints, we got 2 weeks to get healthy.
Last but certainly not least, the Avalon Lancers are back. Coming off of one of their worst campaigns in the last few years, their eight-man season is starting 2-0, and they got a huge win on the road in overtime against Rolling Hills Prep last week, probably their number one competition in their league. Senior Jason Campos leads Avalon with 153 yards rushing and three touchdowns in just those two games, as five different players have over 68 yards on the ground, a balanced attack. Meanwhile, on defense, maybe one of the best players in the eight-man football world, senior Cristobal Hernandez leads the nation with 8.5 sacks in just two games. That is just a cool denotation for a kid that lives on a little island off the coast of Long Beach. Avalon plays four of its final seven games at home on the island.
Looking at the football schedule this week, lots to be excited about. Avalon visiting Brethren Christian Saturday at noon. Cabrillo is traveling to Wilson for their Moore League opener, while Lakewood visits Jordan. Compton is going to host Gardena in their non-league finale, St. Anthony hosting Gar, and on Saturday, LBCC will be hosting LA Valley at 5 p.m. at Vets. But the game that we're excited about, the game of all games, not quite to a Moore League Super Bowl, but maybe a Moore League AFC Championship game, Poly hosting Millikan at Vets.
It's crazy that this is game of the year because of the history that this game has seen in the last few years. Consider this. The last team to beat Poly on the field was the 2009 Alden Darby-led Millikan Rams. That incredible 35-34 overtime victory that I recently rewatched our highlight from, Mike. We are not at the top of our game in that highlight, but those kids on the field certainly were.
We were a little bit flustered.
That Darby performance is just so epic. It's one of those things where you can't reference that game without saying the name Alden Darby. Pauley has won every game against Millikan since then by a combined score of 442-15. So it's been a bit one-sided. Millikan hasn't scored against Pauley since 2015. But the 28-0 game last year between these two teams was the slimmest margin of victory in league for the Jackrabbits. And we both agree that this is the game for the Moore League this year, because Millikan has the horses to make it happen if they're healthy. I feel like that's the best way to explain what the Moore League is all about. You have a game that is kicking off the league schedule where one team has won the last eight games, 442-15. And we're, like, fired up about it.
Oh, yeah, I'm super fired up for it.
It's going to be a scene Vets on Friday night.
No, you've got a legit rivalry there just because, like you said, Millikan has been good. They won some playoff games last year, had their best game in over 30 years last season. So this is the one that's been circled. I know it's been circled for Millikan. I know they're excited about it. We've heard from a lot of players and alums over the last couple weeks and making sure they knew when this game was, they could get the night off work or whatever. And we're actually both going to go to it. It's our first football game of the year, probably our last football game of the year, unless someone gets a really deep playoff run where we're both going to get to go. But that's how big of a deal we think this is going to be. We both had to see it.
We're only going to be at one game. You can only be at one game. So if you want to find the scores from the other games, you got to follow us on Twitter, on Facebook, our live update story at the562.org, and hit us up. If you're at one of those other games, if you're at Wilson, if you're at Jordan, let us know what the score of those games is. Just at us, and we can all be talking about what's going on in the Moore League together.
And JJ mentioned the 562.org will have a live updates page every Friday night this season. We've done one so far every week. We will continue to do that till the end of the year. If you don't have a Twitter, maybe you don't even have a Facebook. If you still want to follow along with the games, you can just by going to the live updates. All you need is a phone or a computer or anything you look at a website with. We will still keep you up to date on all the scores at the562.org. This is not the only podcast we're producing as part of our partnership with lbpost.com. You can also go log on right now or subscribe anywhere that you're listening to this podcast to the Long Beach 30, a new weekly look at the top news and politics stories from around the city of Long Beach. We talked about a crazy story about a mobile home park in Long Beach that was built on a landfill that is currently sinking that you have got to listen to.
Each and every week here at What Up Long Beach, we break down a sports issue on one side or the other, and we call it either or. This week on either or, Mike.
I call it either or.
Either you're a cheater.
Yeah.
Or you're not.
Oh, I don't think that's true.
Yeah, I do. I think there's, first of all, a difference between cheating and pushing the envelope up against that line as far as you possibly can.
Yeah.
And finding, let's say, for example, a way to steal signs if your baseball opponent is being sloppy with them.
You're against stealing signs?
I am not against stealing signs. I am against somebody being so bad at signs that the other team can figure them out.
Right.
That's what I'm against.
I mean, if that's you can't how I feel about most things that people would call cheating, to be completely honest with you, though.
Well, how can you stop somebody from illegally filming your practice?
By being a good coach and being able to be reactive and changing a strategy in a game if it's not working. Because here's my point.
Oh, I'm sorry. So you
within
now
the
you
confines
have to...
of the game, within the confines of a game, it often happens that even if someone didn't film your practice, you're trying to do things on offense and none of it is working.
Yeah, but it's still cheating if they used the film from your practice.
I agree with you, but I'm just saying you still have a responsibility as a coach of the other team to adjust and try and do different things. It's always crazy to me when I hear it's like they knew everything we were doing, and I was like, and you just kept doing the same stuff, huh?
Well, yeah, I guess that's fair in a game like football where it's kind of stop, start. But like in
sure.
a basketball game, that would be a lot more difficult to hammer down. Every time we do this one move, they know it's coming.
Right.
And it's the thing we start our motion offense with. Then you're behind the eight ball already because the other side is cheating. Stealing signs is one thing. Deflategate, for example, is something completely different, right?
Yeah.
Because that's something that theoretically – everybody in football was doing. All the quarterbacks take a little bit of air out of the football so that they can properly grip it. It's something we all know now.
Or some of them, I think Peyton Manning kind of overinflates it because he prefers to squeeze it as hard as he can and not have the ball in debt.
And I think that the cover-up was far worse than the crime in Deflategate and made it worse on the Patriots than it would have originally been.
Yeah, to be honest, though, even if they were the only ones deflating the ball, to me, I'm not going to call it cheating because the receivers and the cornerbacks are still trying to catch the same ball. The issue where you run into cheating where you're filming a practice – the issue where I would agree with you that that's cheating is the other team didn't film your practice, so it gives you an unfair advantage. A guy throwing a ball that you're both trying to catch, to me, I don't know. I don't like all the receivers used to put stick 'em on, right? Well, so did all the cornerbacks. So that stuff doesn't really bother me when it's an advantage to both people or a disadvantage to both people. Like, it's not cheating when it's snowing. If one team runs the ball better, it just works out better for them.
This is the classic dilemma. You are a football coach. Somehow, a playbook from the other team ends up in your locker room. It's just sitting on the bench. Maybe somebody walked in and put it there. Do you use it?
At what level?
What do you mean at what level?
I mean,
hold on, time out. Yeah. I think that's the problem that we run into, is that you're like, well, how important is it? What level? No, I think that there is a line of demarcation between I'm going to go the extra distance to make sure that we are doing things above board, letter of the law, there's that type of coach. And then there's the other type of coach who went, oh, my job just got easier? For sure.
Yeah, but there's no law against looking at a team's playbook if they're stupid enough to leave it in your locker room.
You don't believe in moral law?
Well, that's what
ethical
I'm saying.
Law?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you're talking about I'm a high school coach, I might hold the playbook up and tell everyone, we're not going to look at this. We're doing that, or whatever else. But if I'm a professional coach and we're basically talking about I run one rival company and someone else runs the other rival company and they gave me what their trade secrets are for the quarter – thanks. You know what I mean? I don't know that I even think that's a moral question. Now, if you send someone into their locker room to steal it, that's obviously different. But if someone just gives you an advantage, you're not going to if their center snaps the ball before the quarterback was ready for it, you're not going to go, well, they probably didn't mean to do that. You know what I mean? Like, you take advantage of the mistakes that the other team makes, even if that means they did something stupid, like leaving a playbook in your locker room.
Or if somebody else stole it and then brought it to you, you can't know. Like, right. you're assuming it just fell out of the sky. I'm saying that in every instance, when you run up to a situation where whether or not there's a rule is not deciding if it's cheating. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
it doesn't matter if it's in the rule book.
It's more about the spirit of sport.
If you're cheating, if you try to trip a receiver running into the end zone after you're already trailing him, if you tackle that same receiver in the end zone after he's already scored, that's dirty. That's cheating. You're running into a situation where you might injure him after the play, but you're affecting the rest of the game. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, can I throw like a couple lightning round scenarios at you? Tell me cheating or not cheating. Okay. Filming an opponent's, let's say we're talking about high school for all these things. Filming an opponent's football practice.
Illegally, yes, that's cheating.
It's not illegal.
To stick the camera through a fence and film somebody on a public school's campus probably illegal in some way, shape, or form.
I do not believe that there's a regulation about film practices. I would agree with you that cheating. Now,
Let us know.
Okay, hold on. Driving past Lakewood High School, you know that their star running back has been injured, and you're just an assistant coach is driving by the practice times looking.
No. Okay. That's unnecessary and creepy, but it's not cheating.
I was going to actually say, you already brought it up, but you walk into the football locker room at Vets. The other team went into the wrong locker room.
Yeah, they're moving.
They left their playbook in there. Nope. Looking at it, cheating or not cheating?
It's not cheating to look at it, but to me,
you'd be a cheater.
I would be a cheater if I looked at it. Yes.
Last one, because I love this story. Bill Walsh used to do this all the time. If you're the head coach of a football team, leaving a wrong playbook intentionally in the other team's locker room, hoping that they'll look at it and prepare for the wrong stuff.
Oh, no way, dude. The okey-doke's not cheating.
last example, hidden ball trick at Lakewood. When it involves a piece of tape.
now you're onto something.
But that's the thing I love about these discussions is, especially in sports, sometimes you're literally talking about a wadded up piece of athletic tape is the difference between pushing the limits and competing hard and cheating.
The most important thing, I think, is that no matter what level you're talking about, the coach needs to be consistent. If you make a line and say this side is cheating and this side is not cheating, you need to stay there the whole time. Not for the good of your team or for the good of your season or whatever. I'm talking about for the good of the people who are on that team, making them men and women who can go on and be leaders in the future. Like, I know we say this all the time and it's kind of hyperbole, but like high school sports are where the leaders of tomorrow are made. High school, you know, government, student government, that's where the leaders of tomorrow are made. If you are going to have those kids all in the same place at the same time, you need to be consistent. And cheating is a perfect example of where you can, like, demarcate the different sides, where you think ethically what's good and what's bad. All right, that's it. That's all. There ain't no more. We got to get out of here. Another full week of Long Beach sports to cover. But before we do that, each and every week, we jam about the fam in this edition of Fam Jam. I'm talking about my sisters in the rain. My sister Allie, my sister-in-law Taylor. My sister Allie moved to Portland. My sister-in-law Taylor was in New York over the weekend. Both of them got rained on heavily over the last few days, and both of them separately hit me up to say, I really take Southern California weather for granted. And I think when you're in a family, you need to take those moments to feel your family's emotions as well. Because when they said that, I immediately walked outside, took a deep breath of fresh air underneath the sun, wiped my eyes, and said, thank you for being so lucky, so blessed to be living in the LBC.
Mine sort of relates to that. We took the kids on Sunday to the El Dorado Nature Center. My daughter loves The Hungry, Hungry Caterpillar. She's 2 years old. That's like her favorite book. And so one night I was reading it to her. I was putting her down to bed, and I was reading her that book. And it occurred to me, I said, Maya, do you want to go see a butterfly tomorrow? And it like hadn't occurred to her that we could go somewhere that we knew where they were. So we took the kids to the nature center. Her older brother sat on a bench and drew her like pictures of the lake. And, you know, for all the kids know, we're in the middle of a forest.
Right.
And you basically are in like a nature reserve that also happens to be adjacent to a freeway. It's an unbelievably special place. I'm so happy that my wife grew up like across the street from it. I'm so happy that we live just a couple minutes away and we can take the kids there for their little tiny slice of escape, whether that's to disappear into nature for a couple minutes or go find a butterfly.
I'm sorry, you buried the lead there. What was her reaction?
Oh, she flipped out. Yeah. she wanted to, first off, she saw the butterfly and she put her hands out and closed her eyes and said, land on me. Land on me, butterfly.
No.
And then the butterfly didn't want to do it. I was explaining to her that they're afraid of people because if she were to, you know, like blink at its wings, it wouldn't be able to fly anymore. So then she understood. And so she just talked to the orange monarch butterfly from far away. And they had a good conversation, it sounded like.
Life is beautiful, my man. Thank you, everybody, for listening to this edition of What Up Long Beach. We're obviously going to be back next week with another edition. And between now and then, you're going to find all of your Long Beach sports coverage at the562.org. So get to the website, smash that subscribe button. Get involved and get yourself some swag, man. We're giving out stickers. We're giving out prizes. Get involved with Long Beach and Long Beach sports. For Mike, for JJ, for everybody else at this podcast, the562.org, and LB Post.
Land on me.
Why don't you go find the Grinding Gazette right now? It's free, and it's the only all Long Beach sports section in the city, and it's from the562.org. We'll see you in the stands this weekend, Long Beach. Take care.